Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, everyone. It's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola, and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.
Hi everyone, Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Ever Anon, Nicole Fry, Megan Waltz, Mike Nutter, Sean Froling. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Welcome to the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I am your host and GM, Lydia Nicholas, and with me today I have...
Helen Gould.
Alex Newell.
Bryn Monroe.
Yes, and we're still playing the Broken World Kill 6 Billion Demons
Lydia, not game.
In the spirit in which it was meant to be
played. I
absolutely love a lot of the system and the way that it has played out. You found the most impossible place to summon your impossible thing.
I forgot about that.
You did that. You loved it.
I'm the worst player.
You do. Although I'm still enjoying the whole cheerleader pyramid situation. Jump off the top to execute a bird. Like that, I think.
I'm really proud of that.
Episode 3 was the worst episode because I didn't reverse time at any point in episode 3 in order to make up for one of your guys' horrible mistakes.
Basically, it was a write-off as far as I'm aware.
So, we've made it into a grimy back alley, and as you try and emerge from the back alley, you've walked into a bunch of gigantic brutes who you saw at the beginning of the episode, who have been sent to make sure that you deliver what you were sent to get.
Right, what have we here, boys?
Yeah, pay up.
There you go. I present the child.
And the crown on the kid.
Yeah.
Right, we were looking for the actual stuff. There's been a lot of great things coming out of this place for a long time, and they have stopped paying up, right? So, this had better be good. This, their last and greatest, most precious possession. It's a better be shiny.
Yeah, it's him. It's the kid, yeah. And his crown.
The god. Picks up the crown, picks up the boy, and now the...
It's magic, innit?
All right,
says the boy. The outside world is a bit more scary than I expected.
Oh, it gets worse.
What's this?
Magic treasure, innit?
Throws the kid and the crown over his head. You hear a crash. Before the sound, somehow you hear, of a child becoming unconscious.
Oh. Well, at least he shut up.
Cold. Cold there from there. Cold and dark.
You know this isn't good enough. And it seems to me The only thing that might satisfy our mistress more than a shiny, shiny jewel of great preciousness is perhaps of those that failed her, a little relic.
Yeah, lads.
Yeah.
You're being idiots.
A relic like
the jewels
maybe
inside the kid. We made him swallow it.
You're going to make me tear apart a child. You're going to make me do that, Alex. You're going to roll, and we're going to see if they believe you. This is an overcome.
Oh, no.
So you're going to roll.
You don't get to go back on this.
You're going to roll with mind.
Oh, yep. My goodness.
Surely it's heat.
Oh, yeah, heat.
Shut up.
Definitely
Three,
heat.
Shut up.
If it's Alex's character,
it's
definitely
heat. I don't
want to
kill
heat.
The orphan.
Oh, Alexander James Joseph Jacobinio.
That's actually a really good demon name. Yeah.
I was just panicked.
Yeah,
panicked. Oh, come on. Yeah. Wait, do I want to roll? I want to roll low, right? I want to fail to convince them. What can I do? I can push. I can push the roll. How outlandish is this? Can I push the roll?
It's quite outlandish. It's,
yeah, sure. It's a bit. What? No. This isn't spectacular. You're just lying.
Oh,
just
fair enough.
Roll. Yeah.
I got a 9.
You got a 9.
No, I got a 10.
You got a 10. The guard's like, oh, that's clever, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Although it's on a timer, so you can't take it out yet, or it'll disappear. I think.
Okay. The guard turns around and starts like shaking the child.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
He begins to wake up.
It'll come out
you!
On its own.
If you don't vomit it up, I'll have to tear you up.
He starts vomiting in fear.
I mean, yeah, you'll just have to let it. It'll take a while. What do we do? What do we do? This is sobering me up really quickly. Oh, God.
This is terrible.
All right, cool. All right, so it'll be in the six somewhere. We didn't say it was big. It's very, very small. Very magically powerful. Very, very small. Very, very, very small.
You're getting on my nerves.
Well, I mean, I'm just telling...
He swings the child at you as an improvised weapon.
No! My greatest weakness.
Yeah. Bang.
Is it an armour-piercing child?
It's not an armour-piercing child.
Oh, thank goodness.
It's not an armour-piercing child. He's going to take the initiative, and he does... Since it's not his big weapon, I would say only one damage.
Oh, my goodness.
So he's...
My lacquer, my precious, filthy lacquer.
As he whacks onto you, some of that... thick layer of grease and horror is wiped off.
Just general off. And it gets slightly cleaner.
You get cleaner and it stings. The child is thrown into a heap.
What are you messing me about? Are you messing me about?
There's four of these very large intimidating guards,
four
right?
Them, yep.
At the end of the alley.
Yep.
Does the alley have another end? I would like to run away.
Yes, I would as well.
I'm just going to straight up flee. I'm like, yep, this job's gone bad. We were sent into an impossible situation. There's nothing to salvage. It's time to run the frick away.
I definitely should have used the beggars now. Okay. This is the time I should have used the beggars.
I'm just going to run.
Right.
I'm like, they may be bigger and stronger and scarier than me. Mm-hmm. They can probably kill me if they put their minds to it.
Yep.
But they might not be able to catch me if I just... sprint in the other direction.
Right, you're doing that. Is anyone else joining him?
I'm going to pick up the unconscious child and then sprint.
Very...
Come on.
You want another gang member, I guess. To replace all of the ones that you threw away.
Genuinely.
I will be applying the principle. You don't have to outrun the thing chasing you.
Yep.
You just have to outrun the other members of your team who are also running away. I'm very much in this for myself.
This angers one of the brutes and makes him go berserk. He gains the unstoppable tag and starts running after you.
That's cool. You know, he can keep running through walls and stuff. I won't be there.
Yep.
That's important.
He's running fast. Unstoppable is supposed to mean you can't restrain him, but I'm just going to say none of the small things in the alleyway. So you are constantly being held up by the rubbish, the detritus, whatever. He just blasts through. He is not technically stopped by any of them.
Cool. What am I rolling?
He's gaining on you. Yeah, you roll body. I think that's speed. No, reflex.
Okay. Cool. Should I roll that as well? Because I'm also running.
Yes, you should absolutely.
I rolled
that.
9.
Okay, you may get away.
I'm probably not going to. No, not going to.
Yep.
That's okay. A 4.
Prince character just gets away. sure. Like you.
I have been
off.
The most competent all along. You've been pretty competent.
How about you run off into the beautiful district of the palace, happy to shed your incompetent fellows.
Yeah. What's your epilogue?
Yeah, give us an epilogue. You dive into.
I'm pretty upset, actually. This is a contract I've been working for a while. Yep. I was very happy to be paid in jewellery and finery, and I wear a lot of it.
Yep.
And it's
splattered in chicken.
Yeah, and you know, this is going to be the drying up. So unfortunately, it's going to mean for me is really going back to the to the lowest level of mercenary work and working my way back up again.
So you go to a bathhouse and soak your armor in your sorrows.
Then I drown my sorrows. You know, I'll probably just take some time for me to get over this really emotional.
They're not the people that died.
Yeah. You don't care about that.
No, I don't care about them.
No.
I care about the loss
of status.
Yeah,
you have to regular work. Yeah, you have to like find another patron really, because our Birth of Him is not going to want to talk to you again.
And I'm quite distinctive as well.
I might
have to like grow my hair over my head tattoo and wear less jewellery and change my outfit so I'm not immediately obvious all the time.
You perhaps.
Like, that's a big problem, but I'll do it if it means staying alive.
You should go blue.
Take a full step backwards down.
I don't think I'll take that big a risk.
You would need to almost die for
once
that.
Once you go blue, you feel true?
I
was really struggling on a rhyme there.
You wander off and succeed at being mediocre.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah.
A fate worse than death.
I mean, I've lived to fight another day.
You have.
And ultimately, that's the victory I'll take from this.
Grand, you trip over, Helen.
Well, the thing is, I am taking the kid 11. With me, so that's like additional weight.
Taking loot was human loot was your error, but he's very grateful for you to have tried. Oh, thanks!
I thought he was unconscious.
No, he'd been swung. No. He woke up and been choked, and then
after he went even vaguely near my mug.
He woke up to throw
Billy,
up.
Billy, the human smell,
and then was used to whack. To use to whack Alex. Do all of your characters fall over domino style? Again. Again.
And start to be trampled by the pursuing hop.
Yeah. So the guy is gonna hit you with his big mallet.
All right.
Spiky mallet.
Fine. I will try and hit him back.
So I will give you a reflex roll. That's not really what the system is built for, but he is standing over you with a mallet, and I feel you should at least have a slim chance at some kind of hope.
Well,
it's a clumsy roll.
So I'm rolling to dodge and then to attack.
But dodge him. See if you manage to get out of this one.
I'm not going to.
Oh! Don't like the sound of that.
That's 8.
Ooh, yes. So you are actually alive.
You roll away and he hits one of your companions instead by mistake.
Yeah, you now have only 10 left.
Yeah, there goes... we'll get rid of Strangler.
Do you have fatigue as one of the...
Fracture.
it was terrible.
He just keeps prodding him so he can't get to the...
He's the most boring guy in the world. He just sits there and talks about
fishing. You send him in for all your industry jobs, right? When you need a really quiet assassination done, you just send him into a dinner party.
Just lock someone in the room.
But this berserk troll is trying to smash the ground all around you. You have managed to dodge their clumsy slams.
Okay.
Are you going to attack him?
I'm going to have to.
Yeah. You are a group, so you managed to avoid his...
For Strangler!
As a huge creature, he would usually take -1, but since you're a group, you can ignore that.
Yeah, I would like to use might.
Okay. You're going to try and wrestle him. All of you are piling on.
We want to subdue and then try and run away again.
Oh, okay. I mean, you could subdue him and slash his throat.
There's
a lot more.
Three others.
Yeah.
Well.
They are, at the moment, focusing on Alex. We're going to get to that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Smash,
okay.
Smash.
Let's attempt to
smash.
Subdue the troll.
Yep.
Oh! 10.
Say what? That is a complete success.
It is.
So we see a giant goblin creature. Now, one of the interesting things about the goblins is they don't actually have eyes. They just have such good hearing and smell that they can tell exactly where everyone is. But there are so many of you that he's getting confused. He's getting confused. Yeah. Slamming his hammer all over the place.
I have two options.
Yep.
Target stops moving and cannot move until they escape my grasp.
Yep.
And target is reeling.
Okay, he is on his back, being held down by the 11 of you. No, wait, 10. There are only 10 of you left, haven't you? Because Strangler
has got crushed.
Strangler got
and
crushed.
And not by Crusher, who is still here.
Really? So they actually had quite a bit of a feud. If Crusher was around, he'd be happy to know that.
Crusher
right?
is around. Crusher was fine. He was the one who crushed the dog.
Just to really, really spell this out. So we're all under attack.
Yeah.
And this is a system whereby it is perfectly balanced. 10 professional killers.
Yep.
And a drunken homeless man.
Yep.
And gone. Yeah, that checks out. I reckon they can hold their own against one another.
I mean, I am very new to this. And also, yeah, the whole system is designed to have crazy feats take you out of impossible situations.
I quite like this.
As you have taken advantage of several times.
I quite like
you
this.
You have pinned this enormous creature to the floor.
Yeah.
And you will be able to do as you will. But we're going to cut back to Billy, Alex's character.
I sigh heavily before I inevitably die.
Three creatures look at you. What are you going to do? They are quite annoyed at you, Alex. They are moving. They're surrounding you.
See, as much as I want to do a drinking contest, I know what the answer is, and the answer will be no.
Really?
Because I have no booze.
You're
apart
right
from
next
what's
to a bar.
In my... Are we back at the...
Yeah, you're already back. You're back at the front, yeah. I mean, and remember that most of the bar was smashed up.
Ah, okay. I yell as loudly as I possibly can. Yep. Double or nothing!
Yes.
What?
Yes, Alex,
I mean,
yes.
You've currently got nothing, so doubling it is still nothing, but
you're
still.
You're right.
What?
I happen to know where the treasure is.
Uh-oh.
Turns out there were two big ones.
Ah.
You're right. You're too smart for me.
We are smart.
I was trying to hold out on you.
Yeah.
But, you know what? I'm a gambling man.
Yeah.
You three versus me in that bar.
And the three of them are just like, oh, yeah.
No,
oh,
like right, drinking. Oh. Drinking. I reckon me on my own can take out all three of you drinking.
Okay. Should I get you
You
to...
get it right? I'll give you the one that you asked for and the extra stuff that I found while I was there.
Oh.
Big stuff.
We don't even need to tell the mistress about
no,
the
no, that'd be for you.
She only wants one. Yeah.
I mean, that one we had to smuggle out in a car.
In a car.
A car.
That's big.
I couldn't carry it, too heavy.
Oh, wow.
And I got poverty muscles, as I've previously established.
Right, I'm going to make you roll for whether
I think that's
you
extremely
them.
Wise.
But, you know, I want to see where this goes.
I mean, the best case scenario for this is that I drink myself to death so that at least I'm not being pummeled. I'm going out on my own terms. Because there is no way out of this situation.
Well, you can get like so drunk that you get super powerful and then you can take them on.
I think there might be limits. So I'm assuming this is the manipulate one. The
use your mind.
Bend will.
Yes,
bend will. Bend will is...
So is bend will mind?
Oh, it's plus heat.
Or heat.
What do you have for heat?
Plus one.
Okay.
Nine.
Yay! A drinking contest it is! but it's not entirely perfect. They say, you versus all three of us, all right. You have to drink, and then each of us takes, like, then for each one of us. So you have like three for each one.
Well, I mean, there's three of you and there's one of me. So obviously if you divide by the one, but you've got to factor in the size.
Yeah.
So then once you've done that, and also, I mean, you've got to multiply it by how
many. One of them shoves a beer in your face.
Yeah, one. Start drinking.
Okay.
Presumably I go in the bar to do this.
What you're going to be drinking is the dregs from a lot of broken bottles.
I love how those three are like, oh yeah, let's get a drinking contest with one. This one guy, and then those 10 other guys all escaped.
But I've got two treasures. Why do I just raise the stakes? It's all I know how to do.
Yeah, there's a drink.
Drink.
Yep. Soon a song emerges, which Alex will improvise.
I'm
sing
Ilfank.
Well.
Wait. I'm Ilfank, Carrion, Dilitrius, Indicantorius.
Yep.
The eighth I am. Ilithancurian Dilatorius Indicantorius. The eighth I am. This will continue.
They drink to forget.
Don't we all, Lydia?
Don't we all?
Especially after GMing.
I think this may be a situation that calls for a roll, but really
I have to be at risk of my life.
What are
the rules for the drinking contest? I assume they're on your sheet somewhere.
Only that if I beat anyone, I get a power die. But that's all. This isn't going to solve my problem. All I've done is promise them double.
I genuinely expected that there would be rules in the book for... But that was the sound of me searching to the end of the document.
That little bloop is...
And not finding them, yeah. You're on your own. All right. So the song was terrible.
Just the worst.
So you're going to have to... We're going to roll, I think, with each shot... And maybe if you call higher or lower, I think we're gonna roll
I like that it's a fair fight at least between me and three other people in there.
Because your power is drinking.
My power is cirrhosis at this stage. Right.
Fortunately, being a devil, that's not an issue. Just grow a new one.
Oh
right, okay.
How long does it take
first,
to grow?
First round that we roll is a five. Higher or lower, Alex? You all drink.
I'm going to go ahead and say lower.
Lower, okay. Okay, so you've had one drink. Everyone's had... One drink! And you collapse. I thought I'd improvised a nice game there that would have built up
what
tension over time.
Me?
Maybe you just slip on the floor. It is like this beautiful climactic drinking game. It could have gone on for ages. Just... You're down on the floor. You're not even drunk. You're soberer than usual.
Oh, do I ever wake up? I don't know. No,
they smash you in the head.
It's not even worth rolling to see if I can fight back, is it?
It's not. Being a devil, what this actually means is that your mask, the thing that is holding you from being just a chaotic thing of energy, cracks and is broken. So you are not entirely dead. You just move down and shrink. Into a lower form of demon life.
I mean, could I maybe just go hang out with the drunken shade that was here earlier? He seemed like
you are now a small and really ugly imp.
It took so long to get from imp to homeless man. It was such an upward trajectory.
You never said you were homeless, just that you were a beggar and a drunkard.
Homeless my choice.
Oh, right, yeah, you just don't
It was a status thing. The more I shooed, the worse the reds looked.
Fair. They just start smashing, really. And in the chaos, the already broken bar, like, the bartender is crying. And everything is glass and ruin. And in the pummeling, a single chicken feather floats.
This is starting to feel more like gently, catharsis for Lydia.
Gently to the ground.
Than an ultimate fate.
They
for this
turn
character.
Off and wander off, and you, in the form of a tiny imp, having been demoted to a much less powerful form, hop off.
Do they maybe scream, "Die, Alex, die," whilst they're doing it?
It's great. In-game, there's no real reason, you know. But just they scream a bunch of curses in some of their complicated languages, which just happen to sound exactly like "Die, Alex, die." Yeah, Alex, die! Anyway, back to Helen.
Yep.
You got a dude in your power. The others are really focused on this incredibly short drinking game.
That means I have to act quickly.
You do.
So much building.
I'm going to get
it was gonna be really good.
I want you to know the higher lower, by the way. Excellent. That was really good.
Could have built up. Anyway, Alex, yep. Oh, Helen. Yep.
That makes me see that you're thinking of a fate for me.
you've got the guy completely in your power.
Right. Yep. So as long as he's in my power, I can't move.
He can't move.
He can't move, yeah. Yep. I am 10 people.
You are.
I always suspected all those big long coats.
So I'm going to use dirty work to leave one person here holding him down and while the rest of us go run away.
Just kill him.
She
wants to run out of people. That's what it is. You want to end this campaign with no gang at all.
Why would you have the opportunity to just get away with no consequences. But okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do this.
Because I'm not sure if I can kill him.
You can. He's not allowed to move. You can just stab him.
Can we really?
Yeah, just stab him.
Can we all stab him together in a big family bonding exercise?
You can all stab him. I am going to say that, like, because you have to take your hands off him to do that, you can roll something, but he can't hurt you back.
Then we're all going to stab him.
Yep.
Ripper is going to rip him. The bird is going to burn him. The chopper's going to chop him. The crusher's going to crush him. The shank's going to shank him. The spider is going to dissolve him.
Okay.
Acid is going to dissolve him too.
Right.
Scalper is going to scalp him. Stinger's going to sting him. And Fracture is going to fracture his troll head.
But I hardly know him.
Executioner, I hardly.
Right. So that's a 7.
Hey! You succeed, but unfortunately, the kid wakes up and he runs off and tries to join your gang. You are stuck with hello forever.
That's fine. We run away and take him with us.
Am I the only one getting weird, like, Sound of Music vibes as they're stabbing? Goodbye, Shank. Goodbye, Shank.
And it's like Julius Caesar, but he's a troll.
Et to everyone. And with that, I guess do we want a short epilogue for Helen's characters?
You
head
king.
Off and you just have a great time.
What do you do with the kid?
Yeah, what do you train the kid?
The
up.
Kid gets initiated right. into the family.
What, how does he like to kill
no,
people?
No, he becomes the fatigue.
He annoys people to death.
Brilliant. Okay.
Wonderful. That's actually really canonically possible, like, as we learned with Alex's character. Okay, well, thank you, everyone. It's time to take a break. We'll be back soon.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
All right, and we're back. And yes, that game happened. There is no more of the game. I'm sorry if you came back expecting after what? Bryn ended up being happy and rich, but annoyed.
I mean,
Helen got a kid that could annoy people to death, and Alex was punished.
Okay, let's just.
There is.
It's very appropriate, isn't it, that in a Rusty Cool Gaming episode, everyone except Alex
was fine.
Got
yeah,
out.
Yeah, but have you
not
noticed?
I mean, was not fine.
No,
but at least got out.
Psychologically damaged.
A while ago, I realised that I can achieve my aims if I set my aims to be punished and fail.
Right.
And since doing that, I have just been having the best time.
Great, great life choices. Right, yes. So I should start really by apologising to Abaddon, the writer of the comic and game, for having this group and allowing them anywhere near it, really. I'm a big fan, and this is something. This happened, didn't
it? It's worth spelling out for listeners. We thought we'd try something this time, since this was your first ever GMing session, to maybe do a debrief.
Yeah.
Maybe do a gentle,
gentle
come down from the
session. We're going to talk about what GMing's like, I guess.
So you were saying that this was an extremely faithful rendition of the game as designed.
I actually, you know what, the way that it's written, it is, I feel, written and focused on a much longer term campaign. Mm. But the sorts of powers that people have mean that you are expected, in a way that very much echoes the world that it's from, to get yourself into and out of impossible situations in bizarre and spectacular ways. So there is very little about the detail of combat. The numbers are all very low. Like, even the biggest threats in the book have, like, four.
Yeah, I think it can be a real struggle to switch from a system like Pathfinder to a Powered by the Apocalypse system.
Well, they're very opposed in terms of how they work.
Like, yeah, and Powered by the Apocalypse is supposed to be quite rough and ready, and it's like, you know, every role should be... It does not represent a single action in the way it does in Pathfinder.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it, you know, it represents the flow of things happening. And it's so hard for us to come from a situation where we're used to rolling stealth checks and every fight is a single attack, and you almost implicitly bring a lot of that with you. And
I mean, I started on 3.5, so that was 3.5 was move quietly, be hidden, and other stuff were all separate, in terms of granularity, but
like, I was playing Power of the Apocalypse before I came across Pathfinder, so this has come very naturally.
Yeah,
he must hate Pathfinder.
It's all right, because I've got a good group.
Oh, she's talking about one of the other five groups she plays with. Helen is in a lot of gaming groups.
I'm in two.
Yeah, that's a lot.
I'd also like to say, we didn't get to do, I didn't read up on the system beforehand, and, you know, I would love to have had time to do that, but I wasn't able to do that. And it's, you know, the flavour in the rules is really nicely evocative. Like, the fact that the attack action is called Reach Heaven Through Violence.
Yeah.
And it's like, my sheet is littered with all these wonderful phrases. Like, I use this power a couple of times, but, you know, when you use Dread Sorcery successfully, you can choose to commune with the Black Flame. The fact that my super amazing, wonderful time power is called Spin Wheel and Laugh at God.
Yep.
When you grasp the flame immortal with your terrible will. And even the basic flavour of sorcery in this world is just incredible. It's when you wield your implement, speak words of power and lie to the universe.
Oh, I forgot the implement. You didn't have
my big red amulet. And I did grasp it a few times.
This is why I thought that I could trust Bryn with the magic user. In a long-running campaign, obviously, people get to design their own characters and have a bit of feedback. I thought in this thing, you want to save a bit of time and you want to have balance. And some of the characters just... Like, there are archetypes in this game and you're only supposed to have one of each. And it seemed like some of them fit people so perfectly. I almost, as soon as I saw the mage user, and I genuinely got confused halfway through reading it, I was like, Bryn is going to love this!
Yeah, so that's really cool. And it's like, I'd love to have been to immerse myself in that flavour further, and if we'd prepared for this game more, not us, and if we were playing a long campaign, I'd read up about the world, and I'd read the full setting document, and I'd read all the different character types, I'd read some of the comic, and we'd be able to buy in more fully to the world aesthetic.
Because it's a thing I've never said on air before, but is sort of like a weird unwritten rule that I have, which is whenever we're playing a guest system, if it is not one that I'm familiar with, I deliberately stay that way until we get to recording, so that it's very
you're
easy.
You're learning it on air.
Yeah, it's very, very easy to familiarise yourself with something to the point where once you're playing it on air, you aren't asking the questions that listeners need to hear. So I kind of make a point of that. But I'm with Bryn in that if I was playing this for pleasure over a longer play, I would absolutely dive in and dig in properly. Because at the moment, what we've effectively done is... It's effectively like a tutorial, but not for how the thing plays, because it's a condensed version.
Sort of like a demo thing. Yeah. There's a lot of rules in there that are about training and resting and buying and
ongoing
things.
And
I think because you're supposed to explore the world, which is it's kind of cool. And so, as in order to set up for it being a mini game, I basically filled in the numbers on your sheets, and then all of the flavour came from the people, because they are good at that.
Yes.
Including Helen writing so many names. So many names.
So, in general then, how did you find GMing? This is your first ever on air.
Yeah.
And with a system that you're less familiar with.
Yeah, we're not familiar with at all.
And in a time where people have said it before and people underestimate it, you have to keep track of time and all the other stuff, which is a lot more complicated than people give you credit for.
Like, I should say as well that it was actually, like, rather than me ending in the middle of an episode being an accident, that was also deliberate.
Yeah. This isn't, like, us killing time.
Yeah, because we wanted to talk about it. So I did good at that. But yeah, that's tricky. So, like, I've done a lot of improvising and I've written a few things and whatever, but I've never... So I'm very good when people throw...
Make an
objects
offer.
At me to juggle them.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how bizarre they are, because that is something I've spent years learning about, like doing all the improv stuff with Bryn and James. And yeah, like doing a lot of stuff on stage in a more, like I do a lot of panel discussions of complicated technical topics. So, you know, throw me some stuff about ethics and AI and I can throw that back at you. But... GMing is all about throwing stuff to other people. And that's actually something that I've basically been trained out of. Like, you know, my job and my life is all about analysing things and sort of recombining them. Actually throwing stuff at people and be like, oh, I trust you to pick it up. In a way, is quite tricky. It's not the trust thing, I should say. It's more... I don't want to disturb things. I want to fit everything together nicely and make it move forward. And instead, I'm supposed to be throwing obstacles in your way, which is an anathema to everything that I have learned over the years.
So what you seem to have described to me, though, there is GMing. Your desire to bring everything together and move things along is GMing.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think it's both. Yeah.
I think I understand what you're saying about the obstacles thing.
Yeah.
But I also think that there's a bit of mental gymnastics that you can do which sort of gets around that, which is, I think that it is almost... So it used to be, so in D&D certainly, they're phrased as encounters rather than I played fights or whatever. And one of the reasons for that is getting out of the habit of, you are build, like, it's almost like combats and these scenarios and social situations. What you're doing is you're building puzzles for players to solve. And I don't mean that every single thing should have a, do this and you'll get a good solution,
like,
but...
There were several obvious ways for you to get into the castle.
Absolutely.
I expected all of them to come back together in a room with a sleepy troll.
Of course.
The only thing I was thinking, if they decide to be performers, because I did say a bunch of puppet... Anyway, people going in and of different sorts of kinds. So if you had all decided to be an acrobatics troupe, then it would have been hard to get you to the storeroom. But fortunately, you were all terrible.
That's true. So what was the thing that threw you most? What was the thing where you were like, I didn't account for this?
I thought that you'd spend more time wandering the palace and that... you would be more interested in, like, pretending to be servants and getting information from people or encountering sort of the royal family. And so having more conversations and things. Mm. Whereas you all turn into quite brute force characters, which is fine. But it meant that I had to come up with random stuff on the fly, like there are a bunch of guards wandering through the garden.
I think you did that really well.
Yeah, I think you handled that. Like, I think Powered by the Apocalypse stuff can be really difficult for the GM because so many of the, like, oh, they failed or they rolled under a 10, the GM has to come up with a consequence.
Yeah.
But there's so much creative pressure on you, as you said, to find new things to throw at us. And that can be tricky and, like, in a more closely... ruled, closely well-defined system like Pathfinder, it's much more obvious. It's like, well, when you fail,
you get
the consequence of failure is much more straightforward.
It's very obvious. At no point is there anything in Pathfinder. It's like, you fail, okay, come up with something narrative to explain what's happening. You can do that for fluff, but it's genuinely like, you missed. You fell off the ladder.
Yeah.
You do not convince...
You take some damage.
It's very, very, like, no shades of grey.
Like, it's interesting, like, realising... sort of ways that I overprepared and underprepared. Like, I realised that actually you could probably have done the exact same game with about three lines of text. Then there's a palace, there's no jewel. Spoiler for earlier this episode. So you could do that, but obviously you always overprepare for your first time.
Yeah.
So I have like 13 pages of stuff. Although most of them are just the mechanics simplified.
Good call, by the way.
Yeah, because there are a lot of options in the book for different ways to interact with the world in increasingly absurd and complex ways, which is really cool if you are playing a longer campaign and you want to be like, I want to go into a gambling den and do something ridiculous in order to try and get a bunch of money from here, either win a game or not, yeah. and then buy myself a nice sword, which I will haggle for. And that is cool if you want to explore the world, and it is a very rich world, but we didn't have time.
See, I am a big fan of, and I realise I'm probably in the minority, maybe not at this table, but in general, of, I'm a big fan of like modular design systems like that, where it's like, here's how you get by on the game. Yeah. And then it's like, if you want to do this specific thing, you can either just wing it using the rules that we've already got, or use this subsystem. Like, I quite enjoy that for that reason, especially if you're doing a longer play, because it can stop what I call sort of like system stagnation.
Yeah.
So Pathfinder, we've done for so long.
Yeah.
So long. But thankfully, the game is so unwieldingly huge that it's less of an issue. But certainly with simpler systems, you can get, I don't know, 15 sessions in, and you're like, we've done literally every permutation
you have lots of
game here.
But yeah. I think the only thing I'm disappointed in is that the drinking game ended so fast, because we could have had a great time with that.
That one wasn't on you. That
I wanted
one wasn't
to have
on
like
you.
Yeah, that the dice that went fate. From 5 to 6.
Wow.
But you even made the right call. But yeah, I was looking forward to having some drunken trolls being messily attacked with a chair leg. But that can exist in an alternative timeline.
Is there one where Bryn probably rolls back all the way to the beginning and doesn't accept the job in the first place? Yeah.
He gambles his entire heart and fate on a much larger spin of the wheel.
Was there anything that you felt underprepared for?
I sort of wish that I'd thought of a way to introduce different monsters. They were all quite different encounters, but you ended up like mostly encountering a giant slow troll,
and then just people,
and then birds.
Some birds.
The
birds were good,
and then which encouraged you to do some strange fights, and then the big guys that you couldn't actually beat straight on, but you would need a creative thing to do.
I'd be interested to see what it has in terms of like environmental hazards as a system. So either like, you know, big old curses, traps, things like that. And that isn't a criticism of the GMing. You had very little time to work with, but I'd be curious
I didn't find a huge amount.
Interesting.
But I think with a lot of that stuff, you're just expected to use an overcome roll.
Gotcha.
So in the actual comic, there's a whole thing of when they go into a huge kind of bank vault, complicated maze system, they have to get through a terrible door, and they sort of, you know, spoiler, they do that by basically they get damaged, hurt, like in doing it. Like, yeah, it's basically rather than solving it as a puzzle, there's an overcome roll, or there is a big character moment to do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's the sort of thing that it's pushing you towards, like, oh no, there's a trap, it springs up and it cuts you. What do you do about that? You know, not like I pick it on a 6 or more. But anyway, no, it was fun.
How do you find it interacts as a system with the comic, insofar as like, do you think it translates well? Do you think it translates poorly? Because again, I don't have the experience. Well, I now will go dive in.
Yeah, I actually think it does. It does quite well in that you are pushed to do big, spectacular things. Mm. I don't know if other Powered by the Apocalypse things have that gambling like power dice.
No, I haven't seen that before. That was really interesting.
So, I'm always a fan of that kind of mechanic.
So that it pressures you mechanically to do big things, to fail spectacularly or to succeed spectacularly, and it encourages you to use your weird powers, which all seem to, a lot of them are about interacting with the world rather than interacting with the, like, your direct opponent, right? So it's either like, in order to do this, get drunk, or in order to do this, like, you know, summon a new shade. Basically, the main damage that got done to all of you was by, like, both you, you did succeed, but you also did a lot of damage.
I mean, early on in the game, I was succeeding on nearly everything, and except every time I tried to summon a shade, I failed. And the only time I succeeded was right near the end when I used a power die to boost the roll.
Well, with the exception of trolls that crushed me into oblivion, you did more damage to me than everything else in the game. You're aware of that, right?
So yeah, it was fine.
Would you want to GM again in this system? Would you want to GM again in another system? Or, oh my goodness, never again?
No,
you're all mad.
I would. That's the thing. I think I would like, if I was to use this, I think I would like to do a longer thing.
Mm-hmm.
Doing the one shots is a bit of a shame because you don't get to really dive into character moments. And yeah, I'd like to sort of explore a big complicated world.
What might you do differently if you were GMing?
Yeah.
Even this same plan, if you had a different group of players but you wanted to play through the same adventure, even what might you do differently next time?
I think I'd try and introduce you to more magic and complication from the world or the environment, like as it was. I sort of just gave you a big palace.
Yeah.
I did start up a whole other kind of version of this, which was a bit more horrific because there's a bunch of monsters in it that can control your minds.
Ooh.
So I thought about doing that. But just, I thought balancing horror tension was maybe not something to do.
Very, very difficult to do.
Yeah, to do
really,
on my first
really
go.
Difficult to GM horror and it not come out funny.
Yeah, things going absurdly wrong. And a lot of the character stuff that seemed to suit people best was, it's a funny game. Like, you have a character that gets more, strong the more he drinks. Not that we really played with that, but that adds a layer that means that it's gonna be
the writing of the beggar. I said it before, if it's impossible, blah blah blah, it's very much pushing you towards being drunk trope,
being funny. Yeah,
which again leads me to think that you would probably, if you're running a longer game, want to be very careful about tone again.
Yeah.
This is coming from nowhere, but if you know what kind of a game you want to run, make sure you pick the right roles.
If I'd shuffled these differently, if I'd given Bryn the beggar one, he would clearly have done something about optimizing that. He would have gotten drunk early. He would have possibly nicked a bunch of liquor from the bar and drunk that before going and heading in to fight the guards at the gate.
I mean, God forbid he might have helped the party in some way.
It might have been... you would have maximized that, whereas I think if Helen had played that character,
I think the reason I had more impact on the game was simply because my dice rolled better than the two of you.
And you kept changing time.
That was pretty cool. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
But there's a lot of things that you could have done. It was entirely possible with the drinking game for you to outdrink the trolls at the end.
Oh yeah.
And if Helen had played the bigger character, it would have been, I think, again, handled kind of differently. You probably would have there been some kind of complex emotional turmoil going on rather than them just be like, all right, I'm awful, hey.
Yeah, I think I would have been lovable drunk.
Yeah, right. And that's not to say that Alex's way of playing was bad. I loved it.
It is bad. Don't play the way I do.
No, do. It's great. But only if you're with a GM maybe that's confident in smacking you down. Because that's the thing. I might not be a confident GM, but I do know you all quite well. So
yeah, it is worth saying I would never... in a million years play like that with anyone who didn't feel okay to absolutely
I genuinely just damaged
me.
You at one point out of annoyance.
Yeah, of course you did, on a whim.
No,
I use psychic damage. I don't use it often, but I do it.
It was great. Yeah.
If you had one insight, one final takeaway from this, is there anything that you've gotten from GMing that you didn't know or maybe suspected or
I didn't realise how much you just made up, Alex. I assumed you had set pieces maybe, but I searched for extra monsters
from the
desk, and
you always got to be prepared to improvise. The players will do stuff you didn't expect, but they'll also fail at stuff that, and you've got to be able to keep moving the story forward in the face of failure. And actually, I always thought that was super difficult as a GM.
Yeah, I agree.
I think the one thing that I kind of realised quite early on, because I have played games where I've failed a lot, is that there needed to be ways to... And also I've sort of designed things in Twine and stuff like that, where you, in order to keep options from becoming infinite, you have to loop things back.
Yeah,
so basically, whether you had whether you had murdered the cabbage seller and hidden in his produce,
or whether
you had just snuck in on the back of a crate, you would have ended up in the same room.
Yeah, and I
think that's actually where it was almost a hindrance for you in this one, and I think in a longer game it would have played through, is the principle of failing forward.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as a creative, it's the idea of make something even if things can be bad, but actually in game design, it's a very specific thing, which is failing and then fun stop, like you have failed, move on, is not great design.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I think that in a long-term design, saying you failed, you have to do something completely different works, A, in a longer game. But B, because a lot of the game is built on ongoing effects, fail forward comes in quite nicely, which is you still get there in a worse state than if you just succeeded, like and you didn't get... I think a lot of the mechanics that are baked into this game for you to make use of that wouldn't get much of a chance to be used in a short play.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff in there about injuries.
That's kind of what I'm getting at.
And learning and training and taking time. And so, it's basically... I think it's quite a big, rich thing. But it also works for comedy stuff because it pushes you towards spectacular things. Yeah. So actually, doing it as a stripped-down version... I think really worked.
I think it did too.
Well, there you go. Yay.
I certainly had fun.
Yeah.
In the end, that's all that really matters.
Whether Bryn has fun specifically.
Yep. Specifically. And actually, in a loose gaming system, that's quite tricky to do because he loves his numbers.
It's true. Yeah. He does them. Very difficult.
There weren't that many roles, but he enjoyed having him between. Anyway, well, I know that kind of fight plus metacast thing is going to annoy some fans and delight others. But yeah, if you made it this far, thank you and goodbye. Is that how you end it?
What close enough
to do.
Bye guys.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by rustyquill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at @TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@rustyquill.com. Thanks for listening.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe period Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun, and see you later.